Pastor Ray Bentley begins a study in the book of Joshua.
Joshua, as a slave in Egypt, God was preparing him for a far greater calling. He would be the one to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. So I say to you that God, your Father, has began preparing for you and your calling long before you were saved. God had a plan for you.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. History has noted some famous explorers: Christopher Columbus, Marco Polo, Sir Francis Drake. But today, we'll see the Bible speaks of some noted explorers who were sent to investigate the Promised Land. What will they say about this land of Canaan? We'll find out as Pastor Ray begins today's study.
I'm going to give an introduction to the book of Joshua, which will be our next book to go through. We've got a new leader. Moses has passed away. He died on Mount Nebo. He got to see from the land of Jordan the Promised Land. But now his young servant, protege, disciple, mentor, Joshua, whom he mentored, is going to bring these 2 million young people into the Promised Land. So we're not just studying ancient history. We're going to make this very applicable. That's why the modern concept of us stepping into new land, places that God is asking us to enter into, to possess, to enjoy, that we're going to have a greater personal relationship with Him, and He's going to fulfill His divine destiny for each and every one of us. So let's pray for this. Father, in the name of Jesus, may we hear what the Spirit says to the church. May it be a living word, a fresh word, that will bring a word of comfort, a word of encouragement, a word of direction, a word of conviction. Lord, a word that will make us come alive and be excited and in the flow of the Spirit in our day. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, amen. So let's start with Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to have you turn to several places, beginning in verse 1. It says, and this is about the Lord sending spies into the land. And the Lord, Yahweh, spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." If you have a pen or pencil, underline the word spy. You've heard about the spies. There are 2 million of them. They're going to cross the Jordan River. They go into the land. They divide it up among the tribes. Then they divide it up among families. And everybody gets their piece of the promised land. But before they go in, God wants one leader from each of the 12 tribes to go in and spy out the land. Now, that word spy means, in modern English, to explore. To explore by walking on it, seeing it, and dreaming about it. All right? So here's what I want to say to you. Then God sent spies to explore the land flowing with milk and honey that was their future destiny, so they could dream of it, believe in it, take possession of it. But God is calling you and I to be spies. He's asking us to go now, as we're going to go through the study of Joshua together, He's asking us to explore the future that God has for us. And it's good. God has good land for you. He has good ground, good territory, glorious promises. He has a divine destiny that you have never walked in before, that is brand new. And you need to explore by faith the possibilities and dream. You cannot dream your dreams, but you need to open your mind and open the windows of your soul and say, "Lord, let me now dream the dreams my heavenly daddy has for me." Those dreams are bigger than your dreams. They're greater than your dreams. They're divine dreams. They're supernatural dreams. If you could see the dreams and explore the territory God has for you in the future, you go, "Are you kidding me? For me? Lord, you would do such a thing." Yes, And God is exactly wanting us to do that. Verse 3, so Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now these were their names, from the tribe of Reuben, the son of Zakur. From the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. From the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. That's his original name. Joshua's original name, underline that. From the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu. From the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodi. From the tribe of Joseph, that is from the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi. And from the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamali. And from the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael. And from the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Vofsi. From the tribe of Gad, Guel, the son of Malki. Now, verse 16, these are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy, explore out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Moses changed his name. You know, and then we read about Jesus who met, you know, Peter and changed his name. I want you to know when God changes names, why does he do that and what is he doing? Your name is your identity. And the Bible says that in Christ, we have a new identity. And I don't know if you knew this, but in the book of Revelation, it says you have your earthly name. You have another secret name in heaven waiting for you. It is your divine destiny. So Hoshea, if you want to know what that means in Hebrew, it means salvation. And it's a beautiful, beautiful word. By the way, Joshua is the first book of the Bible to be named after a person. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. And what that means is, at this point in the story of redemption, God is getting so personal that a whole story of a whole generation is summed up in one man's name, one man's new identity, one man's calling. Joshua becomes the most incredible, beautiful type of Jesus. Because whereas Moses was a type of the Ten Commandments and the law, and he brought him all the way to the edge of the Promised Land, but he couldn't bring them across or into the Promised Land. Neither can the law. It can show us righteousness, but it can't make us righteous. So Moses and the law had to give way to Joshua, which is really the Lord, picture of Jesus. He is the one who brings us into the Promised Land. So again, Hoshea in Hebrew means salvation, but when Moses changed it, he didn't remove Hoshea, he added Yah to it, or the Yod. So it's Yehoshua, which means Yahweh is our salvation. We call that in English Joshua, but in Hebrew it is also Yeshua. That's Jesus' name. Jesus' name is Yehoshua, Yeshua, which means the Lord, our salvation, because Jesus came to save us from our sins. Now I want you to note this. His parents naming him were naming him salvation. So here's what we need to do. I'm going to give you the number one application point for us. And that is this, learning that God uses our past for his glory. Because Joshua was born into slavery. He was born into slavery in Egypt. And not only was he born into slavery in Egypt, his parents were slaves and his grandparents were slaves and their parents were slaves and they went back 400 years. His identity was slavery. And yet by his parents naming him salvation, what they were doing is even though that identity, you know how they were beaten and they were abused and used by the Egyptians and so forth, but their parents were standing after all those generations on the promise of God to our spiritual parents, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God would bless his people, that God would bring us into a land beautiful and anointed and prosperous and flowing with milk and honey. And therefore, here were these parents saying, we don't care what our circumstances, what our history or past has been, we are naming our son after the promise of God. It's a beautiful thing when parents believe in the Lord and pass that faith on to their children, giving them their identity in the Lord. So Joshua, as you know, he was in slavery, but he got to witness Moses, whom God raised up to confront the most powerful man on the earth, Pharaoh, with the most powerful nation called Egypt. And Joshua, the slave, got to witness the power of God, the signs of God, the wonders of God, the miracles of God, and literally saw this nation brought to its knees and its gods humbled. And the one true living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, remained. All other gods were humbled. And now, as they left the night of the Passover with Moses, this young man named Yehoshua, the Lord is our salvation, literally experienced the salvation of the Jewish people, and he stuck right by Moses' side. God had quite a future for this former slave. And God had been preparing Joshua all the years he was young, that he was little, that he had this identity as a slave in Egypt. God was preparing him for a far greater calling than he ever could have dreamed or realized. He would be the one to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. So I say to you in the name of the Lord that God, your Father, has began preparing for you and your calling long before you were saved. God knows about your past. God knows about how you were used. God knows about your wounds. God knows about how you were taken advantage of, and it was unfair. And he knows how the enemy tried to take you out and damage you and wipe you out and destroy even your capacity to be able to hear or receive the love of God. But he lost that battle. And I want you to know from the very beginning, God had a plan for you. And now that you are saved and born again, his identity, which will be revealed to you, will bring you into your future destiny. And it's glorious and it's powerful. And I also want you to know this. Many times our ministry comes out of our former misery. What we went through and what we sacrificed and what we suffered and what we endured, and now the Lord heals and the Lord washes, cleanses, forgives, restores, gives us a new, fresh life and identity. But God will redeem everything from your past and use it so that you might be used for his glory, and you will minister to others who were wounded as you were wounded. Amen? Okay, so turn with me now to Exodus chapter 17. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 17 quickly, beginning in verse 8. Exodus 17, verse 8. It says, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel." So this is after the Exodus. They're out in the wilderness. "Amalek came and fought with Israel and Rephidim." So here are the 2 million people that are very vulnerable. You've got, you know, families and parents and old people and little babies. So, you know, for a tribal group, this is easy pickings. We'll just take them, take their stuff. "And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.' And so Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed in the battle. And when he let down his hand," you know, got tired after several hours, "Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady, lifted up, both of them, all day until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.' And Moses built an altar and called its name, 'The Lord is my banner.' For he said, 'Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.'" All right, here's what we're going to learn from Joshua this time. He started off, his past was as a slave. God would use it for the future. But this is what we learn now: learning to confront the enemy. Now Joshua, the former slave, must become Joshua, the soldier for the Lord. In fact, the very first action we find recorded about Joshua in Scripture is this fighting and defeat of the Amalekites. When they attacked Israel, they were only 2 months into their 40-year journey. I want you to note that Joshua was a fighter. He was a man of courage who was not afraid to confront the enemy and trust in the Lord for victory. And I want to say to you as a child of God, one of the first things, once God saves you and you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, you begin to be awakened to things you never knew before you had the Holy Spirit. Even a baby Christian, a young believer, all of a sudden, you can't even probably articulate it or put it into words, but you see things you never saw before. You feel things. Even you go into a room and you feel things you never felt. You sense things in the atmosphere. You have become spiritually attuned. And it's all brand new to you, but know this, there is a real enemy. It's not just about fighting with your boss and fighting with work and fighting with your, you know, bills and earthly things. All of a sudden, you're open to a whole three-dimensional supernatural world, and you realize there's a war going on. And there's evil, dark entities behind the scenes, sometimes using people and circumstances to put literally arrows in your heart to crush you and to kill you. See, the enemy, if he's lost the battle for your eternal salvation, he tries to keep people from salvation. But once they get saved, he doesn't just, you know, walk away. He says, now my, you know, plan B is to nullify their witness, to discourage them from going deeper with God. And he will try to blind you from seeing your true identity, or God forbid, you start walking in the authority of your identity in Christ. So guess what? We don't have a choice. You are being attacked. There are arrows coming at you and spears, and you are in a spiritual battle. So this is not optional for a son or daughter of God. You have to learn to fight. You have to engage the enemy. You have to strengthen yourself, and you have to stand strong on the promises of God. You have to learn spiritual warfare is not like fighting in the world and in the flesh with fleshly tools and attitudes and whatever, you know, that the world uses. It doesn't work with the supernatural. You have to learn how to fight with spiritual weapons. You have to be spiritually clothed with the armor of God. You need to learn to stand on the word of God in the third heaven, in the presence of the Lord, and say, I will not move. I will not budge. You can yell. You can threaten. You can do whatever you want, but I stand on the word of God. And that's learning how to fight. We've got to learn how to fight. Because the enemy will go after you to discourage you and to defeat you and say, whatever you do, don't get into the Bible. God forbid, you'll find out who you are and what you have and what you could do. So he goes after your mind, and then he goes after your heart, and then he goes after your marriage, and then he goes after your kids. And so you got to learn to fight. So you have to grow spiritually. Read with me Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Let's read this out loud. Our flesh and the spirit are at war with one another. I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Not only, listen, is there a war out here? There's a war inside here. And your spirit is brand new. Your spirit loves the presence of God. Your spirit loves the fruit of the spirit. Your spirit loves being with the Lord and closeness and intimacy and hearing from him and being touched by him and filled with love and joy and peace and all these wonderful new things that come with a kingdom existence. But in your flesh, it hasn't changed at all. It's the same nasty flesh you had when you were a big, bad sinner. Did you notice your body didn't change? You changed on the inside, and what you find out after you get saved is, my flesh really does not like to do the things of the Spirit. It wars against your spirit, doesn't want you to pray or get into the Word or surrender your heart or begin to grow in your understanding and knowledge and identity, and it certainly doesn't want you to learn how to fight spiritually. So the flesh and the spirit are at war. You and I then have to learn how to fight in the spirit and to choose to deny our flesh. Remember when Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. He's not asking us necessarily to have someone drive nails in our hands, but to deny the demands of your flesh. You used to get drunk and use drugs and live immorally and do whatever you felt like doing. Come on. And he tries to stir that up. So by you denying those, that you don't live by the flesh. You don't live from the outside in anymore, because the flesh leads to death. It leads to emptiness, darkness, depression, and death. You deny it. Well, to deny it, it hurts. It's kind of like crucifying. So you finally get to the point where you're like, you know what, flesh, go ahead and suffer. You have beat me long enough. You've abused me long enough. You've deceived me and lied to me long enough. I'm not giving in to you. I don't care what you say. I'm standing. I'm going to feed my spirit. And you begin living out of the inside and living out of the spirit. And your body now has to surrender in obedience to the powerful life, like a living spring that begins to flow through you and over and overflowing you. So Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This is how Paul described what I've just been saying to you. Let's read it out loud. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Okay, let's go to Exodus chapter 24 quickly. Exodus 24, verse 12 says, then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. So Moses arose with his assistant, Joshua. His assistant, that word can be translated minister or servant. So this is the next thing. Once we begin to engage in the spiritual battle, the next thing we need to learn is learning to be a servant.
Pastor Ray Bentley with the opening message in a brand new study in the book of Joshua. And there's more to come as this message continues. Now, today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention A New Beginning. It's available for just $7. And again, that study title is A New Beginning. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Joshua on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. What's the most surprising facet you uncover in your book? What brings the biggest wow when you tell people about this material?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is learning about the feasts of the Lord. I think the church has done a great job of looking at the feasts in the spring that go from Passover, when Christ was crucified, to the resurrection, and then Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell. But there are three more feasts that are in the fall, and those three feasts point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and really are all about the second coming. They all point to the days I think we're living in right now, Dave, and I think people will be fascinated to learn more about these feasts, how they reveal more about Jesus Christ and the hope of his return.
You know, many New Testament believers look at the feasts as simply an historical fact, and they don't really actually pull that material into their day-to-day relationship with the Lord, but that really is a mistake, isn't it?
It is. The next feast to be fulfilled, it's all these allusions, really, to the return of Jesus Christ. And I think it's going to be mind-boggling for people to look into this and understand deeper layers that will ignite their faith and put fire in their soul for sharing the Lord.
All right. Well, Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, is available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Joshua. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.